This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We're going to deal with immigration, legal and illegal this hour. That's always a fun, spicy topic. Talk about these social media commies sucking up to us now. Gonna churn through some emails, but I was not gone. I was not gone? Well, I'm a little jet lagged. You're gonna have to deal with me. I was gone yesterday. I was not here. You see, Chris, what that was? When you're super, super smart, you combine the two, gone and not here, it comes out as not gone. I was testing you more than anything else, seeing if you could do that. I was not here yesterday, but I'm here today, and I wanted to do a Medal of Honor because I didn't get to do Medal of Honor Monday because stupid Paris's airport sucks. So we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to honor an American legend. And as always, if you have Medal of Honor citations you love, email us. Let us know. There's a long backlog. Just giving you a heads up. There's a long backlog, but email us. We'll do them at some point in time. It is important to learn about these men, to remember them and their deeds. If I had to point out one part of my trip that sickens me, I did not know there was a cemetery honoring our troops outside of Florence, Italy. I found out about it our last day there. I raced down there. I got there at 5:12. It had closed at 5 o'clock, and it looked beautiful, and I wanted to take my boys there and pay our respects. That is the kind of thing that is important. Remember the men. Remember their names. Honor them. Remember their deeds. Give your children, give the next generation someone to look up to. And we got this email. Jesse, on an upcoming Medal of Honor show, may I recommend the story of technician fourth grade Laverne Parrish, what a great name, of a medical detachment of the 161st Infantry. He was the company medic for my father's company in January 1945 in the Philippines. Near Binalonan, my father's company was pinned down by machine gun fire. Many men were wounded. Parrish crossed and recrossed the field of fire many times, eventually saving 37 wounded men before being mortally wounded. He was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor on my father's recommendation. Gosh, that's freaking cool. Parrish was a country boy from, I believe, Montana, who was opposed to the war and violence, but volunteered as a medic to serve his country. His story is briefly recounted in the history of the 25th Infantry Division, printed shortly after the war. Thank you for your consideration. And without further ado, let us honor this gentleman. Huh?
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
He was a medical aid man with the company with Company C during the fighting in Binalonan, Luzon, Philippine Islands. On the 18th, he observed two wounded men under enemy fire and immediately went to their rescue. After moving one to cover, he crossed 25 yards of open ground to administer aid to the second. In the early hours of the 24th, his company, crossing an open field near San Manuel, encountered intense enemy fire and was ordered to withdraw to the cover of a ditch. While treating casualties, Technician Parrish observed two wounded still in the field. Without hesitation, he left the ditch, crawled forward under enemy fire, and in two successive trips brought both men to safety. He next administered aid to 12 casualties in the same field, crossing and recrossing the open area raked by hostile fire. Making successive trips, he then brought three wounded to cover. After treating nearly all of the 37 casualties suffered by his company, he was mortally wounded by mortar fire and shortly after was killed. The indomitable spirit, intrepidity, and gallantry of technician Parrish saved many lives at the cost of his own. And I think that gentleman is more than earned taps, don't you? Pretty amazing stuff, right? And that actually brought me to this email I got. Hey, Jesse, I'm watching the Medal of Honor presentations on January 3rd. I know you say it takes a lot of research and testimonials about each event, but I was wondering if you know why it took 50 to 70 years to award these medals. Are there limits to how many the president can award each year? Is there really so much red tape in the way of awarding these medals? What a shame that the recipients who did survive the events didn't live to receive it, or the kin who accepted the award on behalf of him almost didn't live long enough, having to wait on the bureaucracy for so long. It's just sad how difficult it is to honor our bravest heroes. Thank you for your service, too, and your insight. Okay, so first, you know how indelicate I can be. So there's no way I can say this in the right way, okay? We read these Medal of Honor citations to remember the men and honor the men and honor their deeds, yes. But in a way, at least for me, maybe it's not this way for you, but at least for me, this is a way to honor more than just the man we're reading about. It's a way to honor all of them. All of the men who did things superhumanly brave, who went above and beyond. Because I'm going to tell you something. Virtually every Medal of Honor citation I've ever read, I read it and said to myself, wow, that guy deserved it. But a tiny fraction, if we're going to grade it, and I guess I kind of do, if we're going to grade it on a bravery scale, where you have to tip the scales, if it's a 0 to 100 scale and you have to tip the scales at 90, 95 plus to get yourself a Medal of Honor, a fraction of the guys who hit that 90, 95 plus actually end up getting the Medal of Honor for a long list of reasons. Some of them good, or I shouldn't say good, some of them understandable. Some of them not understandable. When you go through, and we've done this before, especially on Memorial Day. I know this last Memorial Day, if I remember right, we did this. I think we did Silver Stars, if I remember right. Silver Stars and Navy Crosses. Go back and listen to that episode. I'm not pitching the podcast, but go back and listen to that episode. It's on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Go listen to it. We did it because you read those, and they all read like Medal of Honor citations. So who sat down and said, well, this guy's brave, but not brave enough? I mean, people make that decision. And I realize someone has to make that decision because everyone can't get a Medal of Honor. But okay, let me put it to you this way. Let's say I'm on the battlefield and Jewish producer Chris is with me in the fighting hole. He runs out to charge a machine gun nest and pow, he gets shot, but he's not dead. He gets shot in the guts. I leap out of that hole to go save Chris, which I would never do. I just let him die. But I leap out of that hole to go save Chris. And as I'm standing up, the second I stand up, I take a bullet right in the forehead and I go down, dead, gone. Now, Am I less brave than any one of these guys who charged a machine gun nest? Is, and let's say Chris dies out there, and maybe this is at night, and no one sees what Chris did. Is he less brave than any one of these guys? No. Those are all 90, 95s on the scale. And again, I need to clarify. We all know Chris is not charging anything, and I promise I would not go save him. It was just an example. If that happened, that's just as brave. That's one part of it. So part of the reason it takes so long sometimes is family members, people who know them, have to petition and petition and petition. You're writing letters to your congressman. It takes a long, long, long time. I know that's a bad way to explain it, but that's a big reason why it takes so long sometimes. Sometimes, if you want one, you got to have somebody lobbying for one. All right, let's do some emails like I promised. Jesse, what do night vision goggles, a Berna pistol, and kinetic rounds and a comfortable chair in your kitchen have in common? The solution to your rat problem. Ah, you guys, what's wrong with you guys? You know what? I bet you the Berna tear gas rounds would work really well on the rats. The rat problem, which I'll tell you, I believe I have solved. Now, I could see Ob maybe pushing back on firing the tear gas rounds in the house because they are debilitating, and Berna pistol launchers, while they're extremely fun, they're legal in all 50 states, you don't need a permit, they are absolutely brutal. I mean, these things are designed to stop a very bad, even possibly drugged out, violent man from killing you. Probably not the solution to the rat problem. They are, however, the solution to keeping you alive, to keeping that daughter you sent to college alive, to keeping your son off in the Netherlands alive. Berna pistol launchers. SWAT teams use them for a reason. Legal everywhere. It'll save your life. Berna.com. BYRNA. Berna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So you get what you pay for. Everybody's heard that saying. You get what you pay for. And I have this thing about me where I know that's true, yet I go full-blown Chris all the time, and I try to save money, and then I hate myself for it. I'll tell my sons, you get what you pay for, you get what you pay for, and then I'll buy something cheap. Then I'll be mad at myself when it breaks right away, and then I'll go spend the money I didn't want to spend the first time. I do it all the time. I just did it recently with earphones. I bought the cheapos because I looked at the nice pair, and I said, what? $200 for earphones? I'm never paying anything like that. That's because I needed new nice earphones. So I found some that were on sale for $49. And they said they were just as good as the other ones. But it turns out that was just advertising, and they weren't very good. And so, you get where I'm at. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret before we talk about immigration. There is one thing you should not spend the money on. Luggage. We always had crappy luggage. Honestly, for Ob and I have been married, what, 18, 19 years, something like that? I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention. But we each carried throughout our life the luggage we brought into the marriage. We each had one big bag and one kind of small carry-on bag. And you know what it's like. You mix and match. We were not worried about. Well, finally, the wheels were starting to go a little cattywampus and things are going bad on the luggage. And we decided, hey, you get what you pay for. Let's go out and get a set of good luggage. That way it'll last us. Very first trip with the good luggage. It broke, and it didn't break in just a weird way or in a normal way. It broke. The latches didn't open. I had to get a hammer to open up the luggage. So listen to me. I went home. I went online. I found a coupon. Gosh, I sound like Chris. And I spent $68 for one of the big bags. And I got a big bag. And it has lasted me another 3 years. It's a complete piece of crap. Zip up. You wouldn't look at it twice. Don't ever spend money on luggage. A complete ripoff. Now that I got that off my chest, Let's talk about something else I need to get off my chest. Immigration. I missed this debate. I got a million emails about it, so I'm not going to spend a long time on it. It's stale. It's gone. But Vivek and Elon Musk put out a bunch of statements out there about how we need H-1B visa. We need all these guys from India. You should know about 75, 80% of the H-1B visa guys, they're Indians. They're from India. So we have to have all these guys. We have to have all these guys. And this prompted all kinds of debate. All of a sudden, you're even seeing things like this on 60 Minutes.
What did they say to you? We are sorry to inform you that as of February 28th, you'll no longer have a job. We're going to outsource your position to this company in India.
To a company in India?
Yes, sir.
Harrison was told he could stay on the job, get paid for 4 more months, and get a bonus if he trained his replacement.
Now I'm being told that I not only going to lose my job, but I also have to train these people to take my job.
Are you angry?
Pissed. That exceeds angry. I'm really not a violent guy.
Okay. The only thing I'll say is when it comes to immigration, legal immigration, it's in no way, better than illegal immigration if the politicians of the country allow it to supplant and replace American workers. Immigration doesn't suddenly become wonderful because some corrupt CEO or corrupt politician decides he wants to put a stamp on it and make it legal. Nations exist for their people. Canada, their government should worry about Canadians first. Mexico, their government should worry about Mexicans first. France should be for the French, and America should be for Americans first. This is in no way a radical concept. And I don't give a crap who on our side tries to talk their way out of it. No. Companies in this country have for years abused this system and had Americans fired so they could pay some Indian 50 cents on the dollar to come over here and do the same job. And oftentimes, this is not a one-off, oftentimes the American citizen has to train the guy who's about to replace him in the job. It is wrong, dead wrong. I don't care who says otherwise. It's ridiculous. And I don't know if you agree with what I just said. I don't know that you're going to like how the next 4 years are going to shake out. I believe that Donald Trump is going to do great things when it comes to illegal immigration. I really do. He did secure the border last time. Even during all the other nonsense that went on, he managed to secure the border. I believe we will get some significant deportations. And actually, I'm going to talk about Tom Homan and that here in just a moment. If you're holding out for a significant decrease in legal immigration, I think you're going to be disappointed. I'll explain why in just a moment. Before we do that, let's make 2025 the year of testosterone. Let's make it the year where you actually follow through on the New Year's resolution to work out more and feel better and have more energy. And that's what Chalk is here to help us do. I am here to tell you, I have experienced it. I have taken a male vitality stack from Chalk for 3 years now. That's how much I love it. That's how much I believe in it. Join me. 20% increase in your T levels in just 90 days. You're going to feel like a different person. Like you've traveled back in time. That's what it's like. Your energy levels, you're off the roof. You have so much focus at work. Your mind works better. You think more logically, which we could all use a whole lot of that. Get 2025 ready with natural herbal supplements. Stop sticking needles in your arm. Natural herbal supplements. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. Go. We'll be back.
fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Okay, so when it comes to immigration, illegal immigration, I think Trump's going to do very, very well on. I'm very, very hopeful. You should put a smile on your face. It's going to be way better than the garbage we've been dealing with. But when it comes to legal immigration, if you're banking on that ramping down, on controls being put on that, I think you should prepare to be disappointed. Elon Musk loves legal immigration. He does. Trump himself has recently come out and said we need a lot more people here talking about legal immigration. As far as Trump goes, this is going to sound like a defense of what he said. It's really not. It's just simply a reality of it. Trump, as president, as a politician, to be honest, is going to try to balance what his base wants, what the people want, with what his large financial benefactors want too. He just is. He's going to have in his administration, and already has, just like he did last time, there are going to be a bunch of very powerful people, powerful, rich businessmen coming into his administration. That's just the way it's always going to be. Every president's going to have that. And in this country, sadly, the powerful business interests of this country have baked it into the cake that the American worker is simply too expensive and too much trouble. They just have. The mass importation of foreign labor, that's how business is done now in America. And a lot of it, look, we can go back and forth on this all day long. There are some parts of it that are understandable. America's education system, it's not putting out what it used to put out. At the same time, there are tons of outstanding American workers looking for work out there. But between the DEI policies that flat out, the companies brag about not hiring white people, you realize that's what that is. When the company comes out and says, we had 50 new positions and we filled every single one of them with a woman or a gay or a minority. All that is, whatever you think about all that is saying, we had 50 positions and we didn't hire any whites. It's them bragging about that stuff. That stuff is happening. Maybe you're experiencing it yourself. I know I am in my life with my friends whose kids have graduated from college recently. The white ones, they can't get a return phone call. And I'm not talking about guys who majored in basket weaving, engineering, super good degrees, can't get return phone calls. Companies between DEI and between cheap foreign labor, they've left the American worker behind. And it's wrong, and I hate it. And Trump is going to try to balance your desires with the desires of the business world of this country. And when it comes to illegal immigration, I believe he's going to impress you. And when it comes to legal immigration, I think you should temper your expectations. Jesse, why is Tom Homan still doing interviews with the communist networks? Why is anyone on the right watching, reading, or even considering anything they say? Yeah, Tom Homan's been on a nonstop press tour doing this kind of stuff. Well, you've seen it.
What will you be doing in the briefings? List of deportees?
We'll be doing what the current administration isn't doing, Byron. We're going to be transparent with the American people. You know, we've said, President Trump has said, we're going to concentrate out of the gate on public safety threats and national security threats. So we want to tell the American people exactly what we're doing, who we're arresting, and how we're going about this. You know, a lot of people are claiming, you know, this mass deportation is going to be inhumane and it's racist. We're going to show the American people we know how to do this, and we're going to do it the right way. So we're going to be very transparent, letting the American people know exactly what we're doing every week.
Okay. I support it. Now, I don't support everything he just said, and you already know I've explained my reasons for that. I don't explain we're going to do it the right way, and we're just getting the criminals first. I think that's negotiating against yourself. That's giving it away. That's not how we should be doing. Well, I mean, obviously you'd want the national security threats gone first, but you don't lead with that. Everyone's gone, and that's your message. Every single one who's here illegally, gone, period, end of story, no matter what. That should be your message. But anyway, I support doing the public speeches, going on the news networks, doing all that, because once the deportations begin, and they are going to begin, I have enough people in the Trump camp to know he is dead freaking serious about this. Mass deportations are going to come. Some of them. The public outcry can only be tamped down if they are public about what they're doing, because the news media is going to be full court press. The news media and the Democrats are going to be full court press to try to talk people into wanting this stuff to stop. They're going to try to appeal to your values, appeal to your good nature, and they're going to, well, look at that. Oh, look at, she's crying. Oh, my gosh, my Maria. It's going to be endless. You have to get out there and counter that, or eventually the public is going to turn against you. Let's do some voice.
Senor mail. Jesse, feliz cumpleaños to my fella habla brother. Question. Now that you've got these rats taken care of, what are you going to make out of their pelts or ob? I know it might be a little early for this Christmas, but maybe a birthday gift. Ob, if you're listening, you're welcome.
She's going to be so upset with you if she hears that. And last night, remember I told you I was in the same clothes for 3 days? So we finally got home last night. And as you can imagine, I walk in, I drop my bag, and I go turn on the shower. I just feel like a dirt ball. I turn on the shower. I turn around in the bathroom, and there's a little garter snake on the bathroom floor, curled up on the bathroom floor. Right? It's just a little garter snake. I used to play with them all the time when I was kids. No big deal. But I know Ob is going back and forth and in and out. And I walk out and I tell Ob, I don't know what I was thinking. I guess it's partially my fault. I tell her, Princess, don't come into the bathroom. Why? What's going on? Baby, I'm telling you, don't come into the bathroom. Just give me a minute, because I'm just going to grab him and put him outside. Just give me a minute. You can't say that. Now I have to know. What is it? Is it a water leak? Is it the... Princess, just trust me. Do not come into the bathroom. Well, now I have to see. So as she's walking towards the bathroom, I'm not dealing with it. So I passed her in the hallway. I just walked right back out the bathroom and I waited in the living room for it. Oh, I'm kicking myself right now. Absolutely kicking myself that I did not think to pull out my phone and record it. Because she walks into the bathroom and I could have done a countdown. 3, 2, 1. Is it poisonous and all this other stuff? And of course, James, my oldest, he just loves animals and lizards and stuff like that. He hears her screaming. He comes out. He says, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "There's a snake in the bathroom." And James is all, "Sweet!" And he runs in there. And James runs in and grabs it. Oh, gosh, I was freaking crying. I was laughing so hard. And she didn't think that was as funny as I did. But let me tell you, it was perfect. And you know who wasn't any help at all? Fred. You would think if the owner walks into the bathroom and screams that Fred would, look, even if he doesn't run in there, maybe get up, maybe even lift your head up to check. No, he was tired. So he just lay there on the floor. I don't even know why we give him rough grades. Why do we do this? Why? And you know what else is embarrassing? The whole time we're on vacation, the whole time, I have to hear this. And maybe I said it once or twice myself. I wonder what Fred's doing. I hope Fred's okay. I wonder how Fred's doing. We go on a nice vacation and sit and worry about the big fluffy idiot dog the whole time. It's pathetic. I'm embarrassed with myself. I'm embarrassed for my family. He's embarrassing. But we do give him rough greens because we hope he lives for a very long time. And when we walked in the door, that big fluffy idiot lost his freaking mind because we were finally back. Is there anything better than that? Give your dog rough greens, all natural nutritional supplement. You sprinkle it on his food. vitamins, minerals, probiotics, digestive enzymes, keep your dog alive longer, healthier longer. It's made such a difference in Fred's digestive system, which used to be a disaster because of his anxiety, of course. Roughgreens.com/Jesse gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag. Or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, or leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
You're just another whining Republican idiot.
That's one of the lovely voicemails we got. Okay, so let's just do... These social media giants, Jeff Bezos, Tim Cook announced he's giving $1 million to Trump's inauguration. And today, Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who owns Facebook, came out and said a bunch of things. But before I play the Mark Zuckerberg stuff, I want to ask you, what is real, genuine repentance? What is it? Is it sorry? Is that what it is? Hey, sorry. Is that genuine repentance? Or is it feeling real contrition for what you did and real commitment to never do it again? Even if you end up doing it again, you really don't ever want to do it again. That's what real genuine repentance is. And once you get that, then you can reconcile. That's the difference, you see. That's the difference. If let's say... Hypothetically, I got home last night and I wiped out an entire bag of Doritos. Hypothetically. And the wife sees it this morning. She sees the empty bag in the trash. And she said, a whole bag of Doritos, Jess? And I say, yeah, sorry. Is that repentance? Does that count? Am I never going to do that again? Do I even feel bad about that? No, I do not. That's not repentance. Right now, the people who have been funding the destruction of this country are all prostrating themselves in front of us and acting as if they're on our side. And in fact, they're even name dropping and saying all kinds of things they think we want to hear.
Finally, we're going to work with President Trump.
This is Mark Zuckerberg.
Finally, we're going to work with President Trump to push back on governments around the world that are going after American companies and pushing to censor more. The US has the strongest constitutional protections for free expression in the world. Europe has an ever-increasing number of laws institutionalizing censorship.
I'm just going to pause there before he transitions to Europe. He's going to join with Trump and fight this world censorship. Huh. That is funny because... We now know, not allegedly, we know that Facebook coordinated extensively with the Biden administration to silence you. We know this. I personally have been silenced. The show content has been silenced off there a million times. I know it happened. Probably happened to you. If you question the efficacy of the fake vaccine, censored. Masking, censored. Facebook, by Zuckerberg's own admission, worked with the FBI to censor the Hunter Biden laptop story. But now that Trump won the election and there's a big pushback against all these commies, now they're going to, he's joining with Trump and we're going to fight this censorship around the world. Okay. All right. He did try to address Facebook's censorship. Now, let me ask you, what you hear right here, is this repentance?
And we've reached a point where it's just too many mistakes and too much censorship. The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace...
Mistakes? Hey, Ob, those Doritos, those are some mistakes. Is that repentance? Is it? And again, I want to remind you that this is the guy. This is the guy who now is going to join with Trump and fight those dirty European commies on your behalf.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is they said you can't share.
I got it. And speaking of which, so who was doing the censoring, Mark? When you were censoring all this information, when it was Hunter Biden's laptop, when it was the COVID stuff, who was censoring it, Mark?
Third, we're changing how we enforce our policies to reduce the mistakes that account for the vast majority of censorship on our platforms. We used to have filters that scanned for any policy violation. Now, we're going to focus those filters on tackling illegal and high-severity violations. And for lower severity violations, we're going to rely on someone reporting an issue before we take action. The problem is that the filters make mistakes, and they take down a lot of content that they shouldn't. So by dialing them back, we're going to dramatically reduce the amount of censorship on our platforms.
Mistakes. There's that word again. Mistakes. Well, it was just a mistake. That is not repentance. My only point with all this is, don't trust these people at all. Tim Cook, Bezos, Zuckerberg, all these people. These people, for years now, it's not like it was one-off. It's not like we're cherry-picking. They donated one time to Hillary Clinton or something like that. For years, these people have spent time and they have spent fortunes to censor you, to attack you, you name it, climate change, filth, Black Lives Matter, you name it. They have spent years doing it. Don't trust any of them until we get real, actual repentance. Trust me on that. Hey, Jesse, my name is Dallas, says I can say his name. You have truly blessed me by telling me about preborn. I get a little choked up filling out the donation form. My wife received a $200 tip at work. She gave $100 to church, and I gave $100 to preborn. Bless you for all you do, and God bless your family. Your backstory of construction and working with your dad are the same as mine. I still work with my dad every day. I felt your dad's death in my soul, and I'm truly sorry for your loss. I know that he's proud of you. Thank you, Dallas. And I love that preborn blesses others. You will feel it when you give to Preborn, the organization that's actually saving babies. It's not all about fancy parties. They're out there providing free ultrasounds for women who are about to abort their babies. And if we can get that woman in there and get her an ultrasound, that baby's probably going to live. And that's what your $28 does. It saves a baby's life. Feel like saving a life? Start off the new year saving a life. Not a bad way to start off the new year, right? Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go to give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll do some emails. Talk NATO. Make fun of Chuck Schumer. But first, I have to tell you why I called a waitress stunning. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.